Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever considered that you were born in the wrong time? Have you ever had it so unusual, confusing, or just bad in your life that you wonder, did God make a mistake? Is it a mistake for me to be living here and now with this going on? So often at the end of people's lives, they may begin to wonder why God has not yet taken them home. They may begin to wonder if God has somehow forgotten them. God, who is omniscient and all-knowing. And yet there are many times some of us may stop and wonder the same thing. Has God forgotten about me? And some of them may take it to God in prayer and only to wake up the next morning to find that they're still alive here and now. It must be then that God has a purpose for them and for you to be alive here and now. But make no mistake, the world and the sinful nature within you, that old Adam in you, will tempt you to abandon God and the salvation that He has given to you through His Son, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah who was to come. Such is the case for the Jewish Christians living at the time that the letter to the Hebrews was written. And such is also the case for those living at the time of Moses, who the author of Hebrews alluded to in our epistle text for this morning. But the point for us today is just that. Today. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart, as in the rebellion. Let's take a look at our epistle text for today with a special emphasis on today and how we should view today, so long as it is called that, as we are alive. Today, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. As we heard last week and the week before, the sinful world and the old man battle against the new man in you. You most certainly receive the new man through the washing of baptism, and yet that old Adam is still alive and well in you as well. That's how Paul says in Romans, those things that I want to do, I don't do, and those things I don't want to do, those are the same things I keep doing. Why? Because while I am a saint through Christ, I still have this sinful flesh, saint and sinner at the same time. The old man would have you to believe your sinful, that God will not hold you accountable to your sinful inclinations, your sins of youth, your sins of ignorance, however the world and your sinful nature might want to call them. But make no mistake, God does hold sin accountable. It is against His will to have hateful thoughts against your brother, even if this is the very first time that you have heard it. Just as it is not legal for you to go above the posted speed limit, even if you're going into a new town that you've never been to before, you're still held accountable to that speed limit. That is why we pray not only for the sins of which we are aware and that burden our consciences, but even those sins of which we are unaware. To listen to your old Adam and the sinful world is to begin down a path of no return. It is the path of the deceitfulness of sin. According to ESV Study Bible notes, the deceitfulness of sin is refusal to trust God, coupled with a refusal to accept what is true. An unbelieving heart will willingly accept deception. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do not long for ignorance. It is not bliss, but deception. You have already heard the good gospel news concerning Jesus the Christ, the Messiah to come, how He has gone to the cross for your very sins. You don't have ignorance. You have the truth. And to try to turn back from that is what the Jewish Christians were thinking about doing in the letter to Hebrews, or at the time of the letter to Hebrews, and that is the very reason for which the author of Hebrews wrote this section. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. You heard, and today you have heard God's verse, His voice, rather. You heard it in adult Bible class. You heard it from the lectern. You're hearing it even now from this pulpit. You may have also heard Him when you woke. Some of you may have the practice of remembering your baptism whenever you wake, remembering that God has washed you in that holy bath and washed your sin away. And so some of you may get up every morning to remember that. And as you remember that, you remember the promises of God attached to that, that your sins have been washed away and you've received the Holy Spirit. You have died with Christ, and with Christ you have also been raised, so that it is no longer you living, but Christ living in you. Recall the events of last week and the week before from the Old Testament text. Who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt, led by Moses, and with whom he was provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Yet more law from the author of the letter of Hebrews. The people of Israel, having been rescued from Pharaoh and Egypt by God's great power, he had washed away Pharaoh as they had crossed the Red Sea, and as he had allowed the waters then to come back against Pharaoh. And yet, not even 3 days or 3 days into their trip, they were already complaining, where are the onions? Where are the leeks? Where's the comfort of Egypt? We're out here in the wilderness where there is no comfort save for this manna, and we're tired of the manna. What does it mean that they were unable to enter because of unbelief? Well, the ESV Study Bible again notes through the commentator that God was willing to give His people rest, but His people were unwilling to receive it. The people's unbelief, their lack of confidence in the promise of God, rendered them incapable of experiencing the blessings that flow from trust. How is your confidence in God? How is your trust in His promises? Do you trust that God is taking care of everything for you, both in body and in soul? Or do you trust in other powers and principalities, or perhaps yourself? With this nation seemingly turning against Christianity, becoming a wilderness, as the wilderness was a wilderness for the Israelites, and so much so that they turned back toward Egypt, the very Egypt that had enslaved them, because they felt a comfort there. Do you feel a false sense of security in this government? Do you feel a false sense of security in this world? Do you have a false sense of security in yourself? Into whom do you put your trust? Luther, in writing about the commandments, says that it is into whoever or whatever you put your trust, that is your God. Now, to be clear, there is only one true God and many false, non-existent gods. From self to nation to science, you name it. Anything and everything that is not the one true God is a false god, an idol, and is not truly a God at all. There is only one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. While the author of Hebrews is unknown, keep in mind that every member of the way, whether it was in the Old Testament with the Israelites or in the New Testament with Paul and Jude and Peter and John, they all suffered for the sake of the word. Even those in the New Testament time, those that I just mentioned, Peter and John and Jude and Paul, they all bore sufferings for the way. That is the original term for Christianity. The way of Christ. And yet they did it with joy. How could they have done it with joy? How can we do it with joy if indeed you suffer for Christ's name and not for some hidden sin? Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Today you are hearing God's voice. You heard it in class. You heard it from the lectern. You hear it from this pulpit. And every day it is called today, you can hear His voice. You can hear the voice of God concerning His Son, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah to come, the one that you now know is God's Son, your Savior, who went to the cross of Calvary for your sins. That is where our joy lies, the joy of Christ crucified and risen for you. Your sins, not in part, but in whole, have been paid for. Your sins of trusting yourself and trusting the nation and those things that you put your trust that are not God. For those sins of which you were not aware, Jesus has paid the price, the full price, for you. He has borne them all, and you are no longer liable. That is where the joy of Paul, of Jude, of John, of Peter, of me, and of you comes. You can also hear God's voice through remembering your baptism, trusting His promises associated with it, that in that holy washing your sin has been washed away and you have died with Christ, so that it is no longer you living, but Christ living in you. Today and each day that it is called today, then, consider, to whom is God speaking? To whom has God spoken and it had no effect? To whom has God spoken and it did have effect? To whom will God speak each day it is called today? Will it be to you? Will you hold to that original confidence? And remember that you are not alone in holding to that original confidence. God has given you His Spirit through that washing of baptism. He has given you His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that hovered over the waters in the beginning of Genesis. The same Spirit that was given to the believers in the Old Testament, the Israelites, who did trust God's promises. The same Spirit that was given to Peter and John and all of the apostles in the New Testament era, all the way up to you, still in this New Testament era. This He does for the sake of the one crucified and risen, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.